Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
2:53 to go. Waters, left corner, Wiggins. He'll shoot it and hit a corner three. 138-133. Two possession game. 2:41 to go.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy with you inside of Chase Center. Dubs fall to the Mavericks today, 143-133, the most points the Warriors have allowed in a game all season. But they scored 133. They were awesome offensively. They tied a franchise record, 27 made threes. They become the first team in NBA history to make 27 or more threes in a game yet lose, and they lost by double figures. That's how amazing of a day it was offensively for Dallas. Luka Doncic, 45 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. Klay Thompson in his second game against the Warriors, 29 points. He had 5 rebounds and 4 assists. He had a couple of steals and a block shot. He was 7 of 11 from downtown. That had to feel good for Klay Thompson. I mean, Dallas made 21 threes. By the way, it only attempted 41, so they shot 51% from downtown in this basketball game. Yet the Warriors made 6 more threes than them, yet the Warriors still lost. The Warriors put up 103 shots in this game, 16 more than Dallas. They made 27 threes in this game, 6 more than Dallas. They committed 6 fewer turnovers than Dallas and scored 14 more points off of turnovers than Dallas, yet they lost by 10 points. That is how bad the Warriors were defensively. It honestly is hard to believe. All the stats I just read off to you on the Warriors' side of things, it points towards a dominant win where Steph Curry didn't have to play in the fourth quarter, yet this was a game where you lose by 10 points and really trailed the entire basketball game. You gave up 46 points in the first quarter. Dallas made their first 9 field goal attempts. You did not get a stop, the Warriors didn't, until Dallas's 13th possession of this basketball game, because the first shot they missed, it turned into an offensive rebound kick out Klay Thompson 3. It was a disaster defensively for the Warriors, and there's been a game or two here or there where it's been bad defensively. Think about the Cleveland game on the road, where that game was like over at halftime. Really, it was over halfway through the second quarter. You can kind of throw that one out the window because it was near the end of a long road trip, and you had just come off the high of beating Boston in Boston. Doesn't excuse what went wrong in that game, but you can kind of understand it. This one, though, inexcusable. 3 days off leading up to this basketball game, you're at home, and you give up 143 points. Not that Dallas is a bad basketball team. They're one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now. They're now 17-9, and they are 12-3 in their last 15 games. They're playing awesome basketball, and they were amazing tonight. But in no world should you be giving up 143 points the way the Warriors did it tonight. It was overhelp. It was not knowing personnel. It was just not rotating quickly enough. It was slacking off of shooters when there was no need to. It was getting beat off the dribble by PJ Washington a couple of times. There's so much to go through defensively, and we'll get to it all. And you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Comcast Business text line. I got a thought on the Warriors starting lineup. We can talk about the Kuminga conversation in the lineup, out of the lineup. We can talk about Draymond Green coming off the bench. Also, we do have to talk about Dennis Schroeder and what he will bring to the Golden State Warriors. They definitely could have used him, at least on the defensive end tonight. The offense was fine, and Schroeder will definitely help the Warriors offensively, but he could have helped them defensively tonight as well. We'll get into that in a sec, but first, we got to hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who has addressed the media here post-game after the Warriors lost to the Mavericks 143-133. We will continue on Warriors wrap up, but first, here's Coach Kerr speaking to the media after tonight's loss.
You know, defense is the backbone of this team, and tonight, you know, might have been your worst defensive game of the year. What was the issue?
The issue was Luka Doncic. That was the issue. I think they made their first nine shots. I think he made three of them and had three more assists, and so he was incredible. And you know, give him credit, give Dallas credit. They've got a hell of a team, made the finals last year. They spread you out. They're as difficult to guard as anybody. And we tried a lot of different things, but really proud of our guys. They continue to fight night in and night out. You know, we've lost 8 out of 10, and there's zero quit. You know, there's some disappointment, but there's zero quit. And we're gonna climb out of this because of the character and the competitiveness of our guys.
You've spent like about a minute post game talking to Brandon near the bench. I mean, he obviously had a disappointing game. Anything you can share, message wise?
No.
What did you think about his play tonight?
About
Brandon.
I thought Brandon did a nice job. You know, he came in when Steph was out, and had a couple good stretches defensively. It's about, you know, just coming every night and competing and playing, and that's what our guys are doing, and I'm very proud of them, as I said.
Steve, you guys have been a pretty good rebounding team all year, but tonight, in the core of the game, they really kind of owned the glass. They were at plus 14 at one point on rebounds.
Those big guys are tough, to deal with, both Lively and Gafford. You know, they take up a lot of space, so they're either rebounding or taking up attention, and then other guys are coming in to rebound, like Luka, who had 11, I think, and, you know, they got a lot of size and put a lot of pressure on you.
How difficult is it to try and play uphill against a team with that kind of offense, though?
Yeah, I mean, that was the key. We gave up 46 in the first quarter, and we're playing upstream the rest of the way. I'm not sure I've ever seen a box score like this. You know, we go 27 for 54 from three, 39 assists, 10 turnovers. And it felt like we were never really in the game. You know, we got it to five a couple times. Guys kept fighting, but they controlled the entire game on a night where we made 27 threes and didn't turn the ball over. It's the modern NBA. It's a different world. It's a different game. And 10 years ago, you see that kind of offensive stat sheet for the offense, you know, for our team. I said we win that game by 20, you know, maybe 30. But they made 21 threes. You know, they must have shot 65% on twos. I mean, we just could not contain them at all. And as I said, they They dominated. They deserved the credit, and they played a great game. Thanks. Oh, sorry, Sam.
Anything you can take away? I mean, just be it stretch. Was it just the way that the game flowed for the offense, or is there anything you can take away big picture for you guys offensively?
Yeah, we did a good job of taking care of the ball. The ball moved well, and our tempo was good. You know, I like our pace better tonight, both in terms of trying to push the ball up the floor, but also our cutting, you know, in the half court. So, yeah, we can definitely build on that. And we'll take tomorrow off, and we got two practices this week before heading to Memphis. So we'll keep sharpening things up. Thanks.
My there, Steve Kerr, postgame tonight after the Warriors lose 143-133. A couple of things Steve Kerr talked about. First of all, a little bit of housekeeping as they prepare for the Memphis Grizzlies on the road in Memphis on Thursday. The Warriors will be off tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day the Warriors expect Dennis Schroeder to arrive. I would imagine he'll be around the facility tomorrow and maybe doing some, you know, introduction stuff. But the Warriors will not practice as a team tomorrow. They'll practice Tuesday. I would imagine they will then practice Wednesday and then fly to Memphis would be my guess, and then they get ready for the game again after flying to Memphis on Wednesday. They'll play the game in Memphis on Thursday, so the Warriors have an opportunity to get Dennis Schroeder, as much, you know, up to speed as they possibly can in two days off. And if you were to acquire somebody, this is a pretty good time to do it because you do have the leeway of these days off and the practice days to get him up to speed. Steve Kerr also talked about Dallas offensively, and like, it's one thing if you run into a team that just is shooting the lights out of the basketball and they make 20 some odd threes and a lot of them are contested well, but for whatever reason they just go in that night. Like, and that's happened before. That was kind of what the Cleveland game felt like earlier this year, and the effort wasn't great in that one, but again, you could kind of understand that it was the middle of a long road trip. You had just beaten Boston in Boston the game prior, but this wasn't just like a crazy shooting game from Dallas. It was that, and they were making some tough shots, but they also just created countless good looks, and it wasn't just from outside. Again, they made 21 threes, which is a lot. You make 20 plus threes in a basketball game, you're going to win more often than not. The Warriors were the first team in NBA history to make 27 or more threes in a single game and lose. Teams that make 27 or more threes in a single game in NBA history are now 11-1. One thing that tells you is that's exceedingly rare to make 27 or more threes. And the other thing it tells you is no team has ever lost before the Warriors tonight when making that many threes in a single NBA game. But it wasn't just from deep for Dallas. They made 21 threes. But as Steve Kerr estimated in his head, they must have shot 60% from two inside the three-point line. They were 31-46 inside the arc. That is 67% on two-point shots. The Dallas Mavericks, 67% on two-point shots. This was not just Luka hitting a tough contested step back three and Quentin Grimes catching fire off the bench and making some corner threes and Klay feeling good in his old home and sticking it to the Warriors after Steph Curry and the Warriors stuck it to him a month ago when he returned for the first time. This was utter domination at every level for the Dallas Mavericks offensively. They broke the Warriors down one by one, possession by possession. It was getting open corner threes and making them. It was driving and dishing and allowing the Warriors to rotate and it turning into an open lane to the hoop and a bucket. It was Luka driving and dropping it off to Daniel Gafford. It was an alley-oop to Derek Lively. The Warriors got beat over and over and over again. And it's not fair to single out one player, but as we try to figure out why this happened tonight and how the Warriors can improve, one of the questions in my head, and I want to throw this out to you guys on the Comcast Business text line, and feel free to call in and answer this question as well, 888-957-9570. Should the Draymond Green off-the-bench experiment be over? Was this just a case of the Warriors not having their best defensive player out there, and that would have made some difference. It would have made some difference, I'm sure, but again, even when Draymond was out there, it was not good. But I was keeping a particularly close eye on Jonathan Kuminga because, really, unless the Warriors want to play Draymond a lot of minutes at the five, and they have said countless times they do not want to do it, despite them doing it their last two games, part of that is because Andrew Wiggins did not play the last two games, then really the only option, if you want Draymond to start and you don't want him to start at the five, the only option is to bring Kuminga off the bench. And the Warriors have also said that they're trying to, you know, give Kuminga a little bit more of a leash, give him more consistent opportunity and minutes. And I think there's a couple of reasons why they might want to do that. They want him to, you know, feel comfortable.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good about his role and his minutes and feel like he's going to get 25-plus minutes every single night and he's going to be relied upon to score 15-plus points every single night. And for the most part, he's been pretty good at that. But, I mean, he was getting beat off the dribble by P.J. Washington at times in this basketball game. It's never easy to defend Kyrie Irving, but sometimes he's getting switched onto Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie drives right past him. Again, that happens to a lot of players in the NBA, and Kyrie dumps it off for a lively lay-in, or Kyrie finishes himself, and Kuminga's left behind. I'm not so sure if that is a lineup that the Warriors want to go to defensively. And honestly, I think the inclusion of Dennis Schroeder when the Warriors get him likely will play on Thursday in Memphis. I would imagine Schroeder, if he doesn't start on Thursday, he probably will shortly after that, and he will be in the majority of closing lineups as well. That gives the Warriors a little bit more of, one, an offensive punch, and two, defense. And I think the Warriors might be a little more able to bring Kuminga off the bench and maybe pick and choose their spots for Kuminga a little bit more, which is unfortunate for Kuminga's development, but priority number one for the Warriors is winning basketball games. And once you have a legit number two scorer in Schroeder, averaging like 18 points per game so far this year, you slide that right in behind Stephen Curry as a number two scorer, the need for Kuminga is lessened. And I think when the Warriors ultimately settle on a starting five, like when Schroeder is fully ready to go, I don't know if that will be Thursday or it'll be, you know, over the weekend in Minnesota. I think the Warriors starting five will be Steph Curry, Dennis Schroeder, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney. That gives you a great mix of defense, and specifically perimeter defense with Schroeder and Wiggins. And then you've got Draymond roaming everywhere. You've got one of the best rebounders in the league in Kevon Looney. And then you got Stephen Curry, obviously. But it also gives you a mix of offense, which is Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins and Dennis Schroeder, any of which could score 20-plus points on a given night. And you get a night like tonight from Draymond when he made five threes, that becomes an elite offensive group. So I think the time is probably coming for the Warriors to end a couple of experiments. The first experiment is Kuminga in the starting lineup. The second experiment is Draymond off the bench. And there's a reason why these two cannot coexist in the starting lineup together. It's because the Warriors don't want to play Kuminga at the three, and they don't want to play Draymond at the five. Both guys are slotted for the four. And what are you going to do if you want both of them on the floor? You have to break your promise on one end. You have to play Draymond minutes at the five, which maybe down the road when April comes around and you're potentially playing postseason basketball hurts you because maybe Draymond isn't as fresh or is a little more beaten down than he would have been if he played fewer minutes at the five, or you got to play Kuminga at the three. And I can tell you, based on how the beginning of this season started and how the season felt when it was Wiggins at the two and Kuminga at the three, they are not going back to that. That was complete failure offensively for the Warriors. And we think back on it, and it happened in the Portland game on the road and the Utah game on the road to begin the season, and the Warriors dominated those basketball games. But we cannot forget how ugly it was when those starting groups were on the floor. And that was a starting group that still featured Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. Kuminga at the three does not work. So if that's the case, and they don't want to play too many Draymond minutes at the five, the only option is Draymond starting and Kuminga coming off the bench, or Kuminga starting and Draymond coming off the bench. But that experiment has not been translating to team success, so I think we will probably see a shift there. The 925 chiming in on the Comcast Business text line. Kuminga has had the opportunity in the minutes, and he's just not playing to where we need him to be. Kuminga, I think, for the most part, has been fine. It's just the way the Warriors roster is constructed and the limitations they have, again, with where Draymond can play and how many minutes he can play and the limitations to Kuminga's game, which makes him a four and not a three. They just don't really have a lot of options. Like, if you just erased Draymond Green from this basketball team, of course the Warriors would be a much worse team. But if you erased Draymond from the team, Kuminga would be an easy slot in at the four every single game. But when you have Draymond still available, you kind of have to choose one over the other in starting units, in end-of-half units, in end-of-game units, and there are times, I would imagine, where the Warriors will go small, play Draymond at the five and Kuminga at the four, Wiggins at the three, Schroeder at the two, and Curry manning the point, and they'll do that for the final 4 minutes of a close game here and there, and you can survive that way. That's not a ton to ask of Draymond to do it to close a basketball game, but to do it consistently, it's too much. And I frankly was surprised the Warriors did that the last two games. Again, part of that is because Wiggins was out, and it kind of shifts around everything, and they said, all right, Draymond, give us some minutes at the five. It resulted in a win over Minnesota, but then the rough loss last time out in Houston. I think that experiment is coming to an end for the Warriors, and part of the reason is because of what Dennis Schroeder gives them. I do want to read what Draymond Green said post-game tonight about Dennis Schroeder. I think it is really, really interesting. We'll get to that coming up in just a second. But first, let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. That is the number to call. It's also the Comcast Business text line. Up next is Steel Toe in San Mateo. What's up, Steel Toe? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Oh, thank you, Grandy. That was a perfect game by Dallas. I don't know if you heard Steve Kerr said, he said, this is the modern basketball. It's something that's beyond Steve Kerr's comprehension. It's called dominate inside first before you go pass it out for a three. And Steve Kerr can't score inside. That's why I don't think this Draymond thing, it's beyond Draymond. You got Wiggins and Kuminga, who's supposed to match only Luka Doncic inside scoring. That's the new modern basketball now. It's not just shoot the three and, you know, be that analytics, three's better than two. No, you know what's better than threes? 45% shooting threes? It's like that you just said. It's 70 to 80% shooting twos. You know, you do the real math. And the offensive rebound, they were 67% shooting in the paint and over 50% shooting threes. It's the inside outside game. It's not just make the outside. They weren't in this game, and they played a perfect game, but Steve Kerr dreamed about it, and he was not in this competition because Steve Kerr's philosophy sucks. It's over. Okay? You got to understand, it's about Luka Doncic. It's about Nikola Jokic. It's the inside game. Okay, that's cool, man. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Steel Toe. Well, you talked about like the way that efficiency works, and you threw out the number 45% on threes. If you were shooting 45% from threes, you would have to be shooting 67% on twos to get the same amount of efficiency. That's just the power of the extra point for a three-point bucket. Dallas tonight shot 67% on twos. So their two-point efficiency, their efficiency from inside the arc tonight is about as efficient as shooting 45% from downtown. To make matters worse, they shot in this basketball game from downtown, they shot 51% from downtown. So they were more efficient from three when you actually consider efficiency with the added point, right? If you shoot 45% from downtown on 100 three-point attempts, that's 45 makes out of 100. 45 times three, right, is 135 points. To score 135 points on twos, you need to make 67.5 of your shots out of 100, or 67.5%, essentially. That's what the Dallas Mavericks did. Their two-point efficiency tonight was as efficient as shooting 45% from downtown. I'm not sure I'd go as far as steel toe as to say that Steve Kerr's system is broken or he's refusing to, I don't know, adjust to the modern NBA. What I will say is when you have a player like Luka Doncic, and he is the perfect example of this, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is another, and Anthony Edwards is a third, and, you know, in the Eastern Conference, I'm not so sure I'd include Tatum in this, but, you know, Donovan Mitchell maybe kind of, like, find the best player on the best teams in the NBA right now, and Jokic is another one. James Harden, right, back in the day. A team like Dallas, led by Luka Doncic, can just get their offense so easily. It's exceedingly easy for Dallas. Luka Doncic, all he has to do is just stand on the top of the key. Someone comes up to set a screen. He'll get a switch, and he'll either drive past someone and lay it in or draw a foul with a nice pump fake. That's another thing the Warriors failed to do over and over and over today, was stay down on Luka's pump fakes. They must have bit like 15 times on a Luka pump fake, and he got to the line on a lot of them and made acrobatic shots on a lot of those as well. He can do that, or he can get a mismatch on a smaller guy and post you up and hit the little 15-foot fadeaway jumper. It's easy. There's not a lot of ball movement. There's not a lot of energy being expended. And where I see a major inequity in the Warriors and their opponents, when they're matched up against the best teams in the league, right? The OKCs and the Dallases and the Minnesotas, and you have an elite scorer in today's NBA on the other side, it's so much easier for opponents to get an easy look than it is for the Warriors. So much easier. Because these other teams, and again, Luka is the perfect example of it, but SGA is right there with him. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of OKC. They just get easy looks, almost at will. And it's a matter of, are they going to make the 15-foot fadeaway, or are they going to miss? And Luka tonight was amazing. He made them more than he missed. 16 for 23 from the field, and he was 10 for 12 from two. 10 for 12 from two-point range, Luka Doncic in this basketball game. Meanwhile, the Warriors, like, let's just play this out. Luka on one possession gets a switch, and he has Stephen Curry on him. Backs down Stephen Curry, or Brandon Pajemski, it doesn't even matter, a smaller guy. Backs him down on the right wing, spins and fades and hits like a 15-foot, 1 foot, the Dirk Nowitzki style fadeaway jumper, right? Easy. Not an easy shot, but for him it's easy, and he makes it. 2 points. Meanwhile, the Warriors, they send Steph Curry off a series of screens. He runs from the right wing to the right corner, then sprints the baseline under the hoop, comes out to the left corner, then back up to the left wing, takes the pass from Draymond, fakes the shot, takes a screen from Trayce Jackson-Davis, drives left baseline, runs all the way back around to the right corner, turns around, runs back baseline, drops it off for Wiggins for a lay-in, right? Like, those are both 2 points. Those are 2 points for Dallas and 2 points for the Warriors. But it was so much harder for the Warriors to get their 2 points. So much harder. And over the course of, like, a possession here or there, or maybe even over the course of a quarter, or hell, even over the course of a full game, you might not be able to, like, see or feel the difference, the extra energy and the fatigue that results of how hard the Warriors have to work for their 2 points versus how easy the 2 points comes for someone like Luka or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But over the course of a season, and when you get into the playoffs, and when your star, your main motor, is already 36, going on 37 years old, and you get to April, having just played an 82-game season, and you're asked to take on a younger, more athletic team like Dallas or Minnesota in the playoffs, you'll see it come to fruition. You will see it. It is so much harder for the Warriors to get good looks and to score the basketball. Not that they can't do it. They are very good at their system. Like, so incredibly good. They scored 133 points tonight. They made 27 threes. They had 39 assists. They are undoubtedly very good at it. And tonight, they were almost as good as you possibly can be at it. But it's just so much harder. They have to work so much more for all of their good looks than these other teams do. And honestly, part of me is very grateful that they do, because it's great basketball to watch. When the Warriors' offense is working, there are very few things more beautiful in the NBA than the Warriors' offense. And so much of, like, the overall talk of the NBA is, you know, the product is becoming watered down, it's not as fun to watch, it's just, you know, shoot a three or pump fake and get to the free throw line, and, you know, the product isn't great. And that's totally fair. I hear you. But if you're trying to win basketball games, I mean, there's a clear cheat code going on right now, and the cheat code is the way Luka Doncic plays and SGA getting to the free throw line over and over and over again. And oh, by the way, making those free throws. And I think it's on display when you see Luka Doncic have the game he had tonight, where he scored 45 points, grabbed 11 rebounds, dished 13 assists. And obviously, I'm being a little over the top here, but it felt like he hardly broke a sweat. Meanwhile, you have Stephen Curry running like what feels like a marathon every single game just to get his shots up, and he was good. 26 points, 9 of 19 from the field, 7 of 13 from downtown, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. That is clearly an awesome game from Stephen Curry. And Andrew Wiggins, 29 points. He made 5 threes. Awesome, awesome game from the Warriors. But it's the inequity in how you get those points, it's very clear. And the Warriors have played Oklahoma City a couple of times this year already. They've played Dallas a couple of times this year already. They just played Minnesota twice already. They will play Minnesota again coming up this weekend. I could throw John Morant in there as well. John Morant isn't quite as on the level of like a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Luka Doncic, but he is in a similar vein as those two. The inequity in the difficulty with which some teams the ease with which some teams are able to get good looks up versus the difficulty it is for the Warriors. Not necessarily difficulty, although it has been at times in the fourth, but the amount of effort and energy they have to extend to get those shots and to get those looks, it's very, very different from a lot of these other teams. Let's go back out to the phone lines as we continue on Warriors Wrap-Up, 888-957-9570. That's also the Comcast Business text line. It's Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game. Up next is Galileo, who is in Fremont. What's up, Galileo? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I was at the game. I really thought that one challenge by the Mavericks on the four-point play by Steph when they gave the point back was really big in halting the Warriors' comeback efforts. Some other things that I noticed were, like you said, the overhelping. When they had like Derek Lively rolling down the middle and then four people sagging the lane, swing, 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 that extra ball movement by the Mavericks really gave them good three-point shots. And they had generated a lot of easy buckets. Thanks for taking my call.
Bye. Yeah, no doubt, Galileo. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ball movement was spectacular for Dallas, but it's also the Warriors picking and choosing the wrong guys to sprint out to, right? Like it's what opponents do when GP2 catches the ball open in the corner or open on the left wing. The corner is a little bit of a different example. Like corner threes are the only threes that GP2 should be taking. But like let's think of this, you know, as an example, and try to figure out where the Warriors went wrong in this basketball game. So Steph Curry drives, right, and the defense collapses on him, as happens all the time, and he kicks to Brandon Pajemski, okay, in the left corner. Pajemski has had a very, very rough go of it shooting this year, and we can talk about him in a little bit as well. He wasn't great tonight either. Had a moment in the right corner, which boggles the mind. We'll get to that in a second. But Curry drives, defense collapses, he kicks to Pajemski in the left corner, okay? Not having a great year, but is a respectable enough three-point shooter that Dallas should close out on him. Okay, so they close out on him, they take the shot away. And then Pajemski passes to the left wing. Wide open is GP2. And what Dallas does, and what teams with good defensive principles should do, is you don't sell out to stop that guy, to contest that guy. Or at the very least, you don't come off of a good shooter. Like, say Stephen Curry has relocated to the right wing, or even to the right corner, but there's a passing lane from GP2 on that left wing to Stephen Curry on the right side. You don't sag off of Steph and help off of Steph, or say if Heald's on the right wing, you don't help off of those guys and leave them open to go and contest a potential GP2 left wing three. That is KYP, know your personnel. Dare GP2 to shoot that shot. And he has time and time and time again this year, and generally, he's missed them. Meanwhile, look on the flip side and what Dallas did tonight offensively and how the Warriors defended them. You have Luka Doncic drive, or whatever the case is, and he kicks to the left corner to Quentin Grimes, okay? That's a player you want to go out and contest on, and there were times where the Warriors committed too much into the paint that they couldn't even get out there in time. But let's say, in this case, they do get out, and they go out and they push to Quentin Grimes, and they force him to pass, okay? And he passes to Daniel Gafford, or Derek Lively, the big man on the left wing. What the Warriors would do is the Warriors would push out and try to take a shot away from a big man who doesn't want to shoot that shot. And if he shoots that shot, even if he makes it, it feels it's a defensive win. You will take someone like that shooting that shot over anything else on the floor. And if he makes it, more power to him. Congratulations, you made it. But I'm going to dare you to make that all night long to beat me. And the Warriors, at times, would commit out to players that aren't good three-point shooters, like the GP2s of the Mavericks. And as a result, you leave Kyrie Irving on the top of the key, or Klay Thompson wide open on the right wing, and it turns into a Klay 3. There was a moment, and not even like a drive and dish, and then you get the defense scattered, and they got to try to race out to cover. There was a moment where it was a Luka ball handler. Klay comes to set the screen. Steph Curry was on Klay and doesn't want to get switched. Or no, Steph was on Luka and did not want to get switched on to Klay. So Steph tries to fight through the screen, but the guy defending Klay, I believe it might have been Wiggins, they both just hug up on Luka, and Klay roams free, flares out to the right wing, wide open for a three, and nails it. And that happened in the fourth quarter, and it was a big reason why the Mavericks won this basketball game, because this was a game. This was a game for a while. And then Klay had a big fourth quarter and helped put the game away. In fact, I circled this moment, and I just mentioned it. Warriors down by 9 with the ball, 6:50 left in the fourth. This felt like a big turning point. Warriors a chance to get back within 7 or 6, still plenty of basketball left. Pajemski takes the ball in the corner, and similar to what we're just talking about, has a decent look, pump fakes, Luka flies by him, and instead of either taking the shot then and there or driving in, he like awkwardly kind of waits in the corner, looks behind, sees where Luka is. Luka gets back in the picture. Pajemski has picked up his dribble at that point, and Luka has him completely covered. He's lost. He's trapped in the corner. The shot clock is running down. Meanwhile, every other Warrior on the court is just standing around and not coming to help Pajemski. And Pajemski is forced to try to put up a crazy wild shot. It gets blocked by Luka. They go the other way. The Mavericks do. It leads to a Klay Thompson three. And now it's a 12-point lead, 6.5 left. And that was a turning point in this basketball game. There was another moment, and this is what we talked about with the turnovers, right? The turnovers were not an issue. The Warriors committed 10 turnovers in this basketball game. You will take that every single night. And I guarantee you, if the Warriors commit 10 turnovers a night the rest of the season, they will win like 60%+ of their basketball games. 10 turnovers is a great number. But a couple of them happened in key moments in the fourth quarter that led to Dallas points. There was this moment. Warriors down by 7, 132 to 125 with 4.5 left. And there was a bad Stephen Curry turnover where he gets his pocket picked. It leads to a Klay Thompson right wing 3, 10-point game suddenly with 4 minutes left. The Warriors had a couple of poor turnovers in the fourth quarter that hurt them, even though the turnovers as a whole were not much of a problem for the Golden State Warriors. But tonight was a rough one defensively for the Warriors, no doubt. Luka Doncic was amazing in this basketball game. I told you what his full stat line was. 45 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. How about through three quarters? In just three quarters, in 26.5 minutes of action, Luka Doncic, 41 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. The dude had a 41-point triple-double through three quarters. He was unbelievable, and he is one of the best players in the game. There's no doubt about it. And you might not particularly enjoy the way that at times he plays the game. I thought tonight he earned like almost everything he got of his 45 points. Only 7 of them came from the free throw line. He attempted 9 free throws himself. The Warriors as a team, only 11. Most of those free throws, though, I thought were earned. Some of them were the Warriors falling for pump fakes, and maybe there was a couple or one that was ticky-tack and could have went either way, could have been a no-call, whatever the case is. I don't think there's really much of an argument the Warriors have in this game. Not saying that they are arguing, they're not, but the Warriors don't have an argument for, you know, Luka free throw attempts in this basketball game. He was awesome. There certainly have been games where he's more often been not that you feel like that he's cheating the game, but where he's getting 40 points because he's loopholing his way to the free throw line 20 times in one game. Tonight was not that night. But again, if the game is going to be officiated that way, Luka Doncic is the perfect player to take advantage. And there is something to be said for having that ability, having that skill. And it is a skill. You might not like it, but it is a skill. And that's the way that the NBA is going. I think they're trying to adjust and make it less so. I think Warriors Twitter calls it free throw merchants. So free throw merchants can't be as successful. Luka was not a free throw merchant tonight. He worked for his buckets, and he was amazing. 16 for 23 from the field, 6 of 11 from downtown. He had 45 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists in this basketball game. It's Mark Randy with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Comcast Business text line. The 415 is chiming in on the Comcast Business text line. The 415 writes, while I think Schroeder is a great addition as a backup point guard, playing him and Curry together in crunch time against playoff caliber teams won't work. It would be lunch for virtually every Western Conference team. Thank you to the 415 for chiming in. I don't think you're giving Dennis Schroeder enough credit. You look at what he's done so far this year, and I have the numbers here for you. Schroeder averaging 18.4 points per game, 6.6 assists per game, shooting 45% from the field, 39% from downtown, and 89% from the free throw line. He is legitimately a multi-level scorer. He can score with the ball in his hands. He can work off the ball a little bit, but generally he's a guy that creates for himself and for others on the ball, which is fine. The Warriors need someone to take the pressure off of Stephen Curry, and he's also a pest defensively. He's not the great perimeter defender that DeAnthony Melton is when Melton is healthy. But he's a pest. He'll get you a couple of steals every single game. He will get out and run. He will turn those turnovers into fast break buckets. You know, again, he's not like the head of the snake defensively by any stretch. But he's a positive defensive player, and he's definitely a positive offensive player. I think he fits exactly what the Warriors need. They need a ball handler. They need an initiator. They need a shot creator, both for himself and for others. And they need a positive defensive player, specifically from the two spot. And Schroeder does all of that. Will he play a lot of non-Steph minutes? Yes, he will. I think we will see less Brandon Pajemski, and definitely less Pajemski without Stephen Curry. This might open up for more Pods minutes alongside Steph. The Warriors have kind of been forced to play Pods in the non-Steph minutes because they don't have a lot of other ball handlers. But what the inclusion of Schroeder will do is it will free up Pods for more minutes with Steph. Not that Pods is going to play more minutes as a whole, but a higher percentage of his minutes now will likely come while Steph is on the floor. I would imagine Pods' minutes will shrink, but of the minutes that are left, a higher percentage of those will be with Steph on the court, which will only help Pods, no doubt, because playing alongside one of the best players of all time is a good way to have less attention paid to you on the offensive end. So I think that will help Pajemski. But really, Schroeder will help the Golden State Warriors on both sides of the basketball, and they desperately needed him. Steve Kerr, when talking about Schroeder pregame tonight, said, quote, "I'm thrilled. I mean, I told Dennis today he's kicked my ass on three different continents. So if you can't beat him, join him." That's Steve Kerr talking about his experience with Team USA, coaching in the Olympics this summer. Schroeder represented Germany and helped lead Germany to a nice performance in the Olympics. The Team USA did not play Germany in the actual Olympics, but they played an exhibition leading up to the Olympics, and Schroeder was very good. More Kerr on Schroeder, quote, "He's a gamer, he's a competitor, pick and roll player, two-way player. Losing Melt was a huge loss, but you got to do what you got to do to get better, and this was a move that we felt like made perfect sense. So he will fill what Melton was doing for us in terms of being able to play on or off the ball. Excellent defender, long wingspan. He's a steals guy, forced turnovers, pace. Everything that we need, we feel like he can provide." He was asked if he plans to start Dennis Schroeder. He said, quote, "We'll see how it all shakes out, but he would seem to be a perfect fit to start next to Steph Curry. We got to see, though, how it all plays out." I would imagine it might not happen on Thursday, the Warriors' next game, and likely that's when Schroeder will make his Warriors debut. I would imagine we will quickly see a starting lineup of Steph Curry, Dennis Schroeder, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney. I think Jonathan Kuminga will shortly head back to the bench. Draymond Green will return to the lineup as the four. I think they will stick with Looney at the five, partly because Trayce Jackson-Davis is going through a little bit of a sophomore slump right now. He really struggles around the rim when he's not dunking the basketball. I think the Warriors love Kevon Looney's rebounding, and they love the way that he helps free things up on offense. Even though he's not a shooter, he's a great screen setter. He's a great passer for someone his size, and he, much like Draymond, works very well with Stephen Curry in a two-man game. So I would expect Schroeder will start, maybe not Thursday, his first game as a Warrior, but he will start shortly into his tenure. It'll be Steph, Schroeder, Wiggins, Draymond, and Kevon Looney would be my guess for a Warriors starting five. And then you have a number of different ways you can go in the closing lineups. You could play Draymond small ball five and slide Kuminga into the four, and you could close with Draymond, Kuminga, Wiggins, Schroeder, and Curry. I think you got four locks for closing time. It's Steph, it's Schroeder, it's Wiggins, and it's Draymond. And then the fifth spot maybe depends on the matchup. I think that is the likely scenario for the Warriors moving forward now that they have Dennis Schroeder on this basketball team. Schroeder expected in the Bay tomorrow. The Warriors are off tomorrow. They are not practicing. They will practice on Tuesday. Of course, Schroeder will be there for that. They will practice again Wednesday. Wednesday, they will also travel to Memphis to take on the Grizzlies coming up on Thursday. Okay, one other thing to get to before we do get on out of here, and it is Draymond Green talking about Dennis Schroeder. I just want to read this quote to you here, and this comes courtesy of Danny Emmerman of the Bay Area News Group. He caught up with Draymond Green postgame. Draymond Green on the Schroeder trade, quote, "I don't think he was necessarily brought here to fit. We play a certain style of basketball he does not really play. We need someone who can do the things he does. I'm looking forward to us adjusting to him." More from Draymond. Again, this is on Dennis Schroeder. "We have to adjust to him because he's bringing something this team needs. To just make him fall in line with what we do, we'd be wasting our time. We need somebody that can do what we necessarily don't do, and I think that's what he'll be for us." That's really interesting from Draymond Green, because this feels like the exact argument I've been making about the way the Warriors have been employing Jonathan Kuminga. I feel like they've been trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, and it hasn't been working. Kuminga's at his best when you allow him to attack somebody off the dribble, get going full speed, get to the rim, get fouled, go to the line, although he hasn't been making his free throws of late, but get to the rim and either get fouled or, you know, make a lay-in or a nice reverse layup or dunk over somebody. We saw that a couple of times tonight. But for the most part, Kuminga has been employed when the Warriors are in the midst of running their motion offense, and you've got Steph Curry running off of three screens, and then Kuminga kind of gets relegated to just playing in a style that doesn't really fit him. So the fact that Draymond Green is openly talking about the Warriors needing to adjust to Dennis Schroeder, it's interesting, because I think to this point we haven't really seen the Warriors adjust to Jonathan Kuminga's skill set, but maybe that's something that they will do for Dennis Schroeder. Draymond, though, is right. He does a lot of things that the Warriors need, and what the Warriors need is generally what they haven't had in the past, which is, you know, that ball handler who's going to create his own shot that isn't Stephen Curry, and that can create for others as well, off the dribble, in the pick and roll. The Warriors can just spam pick and roll, right? And Dennis Schroeder is another body to add to that. Oftentimes, it's just Steph Curry and Draymond Green, but you can add Dennis Schroeder to that group, and I think it can be really, really effective as well. So that's interesting, the way Draymond Green is talking about Dennis Schroeder and how the Warriors need to adjust to him, not Schroeder needing to adjust to the Golden State Warriors. So something to keep an eye on as Schroeder gets used to playing with the Warriors. Is there like a general different feel to the Warriors offensively when Schroeder is in versus how the Warriors are running things right now? And I talked about it a little bit earlier, right? Everything for the Warriors, not that it's necessarily difficult per se, not that the frequency with which they create a good look is exceedingly low. It's just at times the effort to get those shots is a lot. Like, the Warriors have to work a lot harder for their looks than some of these other teams do. And because the Warriors don't have the modern NBA cheat code like Luka Doncic. The Warriors have a cheat code in Stephen Curry, but you utilize that cheat code in a different way. And not that Dennis Schroeder is a Luka Doncic level cheat code. Of course he's not. He's on a 1 year, like $13 million deal. If he was the cheat code that Luka is, he would be making a ton more money and he wouldn't be playing for like seven teams in the last 8 years or whatever the case is. But he is a guy who can kind of get you his own as the rest of the offense breaks down. And that's what the Warriors have been lacking. That's why I think when we saw Jonathan Kuminga lead the way without Stephen Curry and without Andrew Wiggins, when those two were out in that win at home, no, it was without Draymond and Steph. When those two were out against the Rockets at home, it was essentially Wiggins and Kuminga as the 1-2 punches offensively. And they just worked the pick and roll 24-7 in the fourth quarter, and it worked. And it worked. But when Steph is in and when Draymond is in, the Warriors haven't been willing, and not that they should by any stretch. You've got two of the greatest players to ever play in Steph and Draymond. You use them, and they're going to run their pick and roll, and they're going to use split action and make the defense choose between, you know, trying to double team Steph near the perimeter on the right wing or leave a backdoor cutting healed open. Like, those are the challenges the Warriors put on defenses. But it seems like, based on what Draymond is saying, maybe the Warriors are a little more willing to, when Schroeder is on the floor, say, hey, Dennis, go get us this bucket. You know, Steph will be hanging out off ball for this possession. Go get us two, get us to the free throw line, or drive and kick and get us a good look. We need you to take a little bit of pressure off of us and just get us an easy look at the bucket. Because for the Warriors down the stretch of basketball games of late, it has been very, very difficult for them to get going. All right, final couple of minutes here of Warriors wrap-up. Mark Randy with you on 95.7 The Game. We got to get to our Crashing the Boards segment, which, as always, is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. No Warriors in double figures rebounding tonight. Draymond Green led the way with 7. But I don't want to give him the Crashing the Boards honor tonight. I think, considering what he did the entire game, I know this might feel like sacrilegious, but I got to go with Luka Doncic. He had the most rebounds of any player on the floor tonight. 11 rebounds for Luka Doncic, just part of his 45-point triple-double. 45 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. He was crashing the boards and doing everything in this basketball game, so he gets the honor of Crashing the Boards, which again is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Thank you, as always, to Chilton Auto Body. Luka Doncic was awesome, and he helped the Mavericks get the win over the Warriors, 143-133. All right, that's all the time we got tonight here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Thanks so much for tuning in. The Warriors are in action next on Thursday. They have 3 more days off before they take on Memphis in Memphis. Then they take on the T-Wolves in Minnesota on Saturday. They return home a week from tomorrow to get things kicked off on Christmas week, Monday, December 23rd, against Indiana. Then LeBron and the Lakers are in town on Christmas Day. LeBron, by the way, back with the Lakers. He missed the last 8 days, away from the team for 8 days, missed the team's last 2 games. He returned tonight for the Lakers. Let's see if we have a final score from that basketball game. And the Lakers beat the Grizzlies 116-110. Anthony Davis scored 40, and LeBron had 18 as he returned to the floor for the Lakers tonight. But the Warriors lose 143-133. They've lost 8 of their last 10. Now they have 3 more days off as they welcome in Dennis Schroeder and get ready for the Grizzlies in Memphis coming up on Thursday. Tip is at 5, which means pregame coverage begins at 4 on Thursday here on 95.7 The Game. All right, that'll do it for us tonight. For Cam Williams behind the glass, my name is Mark Ringetti, signing off live from the bowels of Chase Center. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we got a full day to talk about these dubs tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game, so make sure you're locked in. You will not want to miss it. Thanks for listening, and have a good night.